I see why people get in trouble here.
Thanks to everybody who is a part of this one. Thanks to our guests, Sean King, Mike Mayock, and Sam Munson, who is speaking as part of a panel tomorrow, live here from Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Thanks also to Circa for having us out as part of Circa's football contest weekend as we broadcasted live today from Stadium Swim at the Resort and Casino. I am enjoying Premier League soccer right now. I see some Cowboys training camp updates and all the lines for the games today, so I appreciate that as well. Thanks to Ray Diaz, our producer, Ray Ragel, our engineer, Alan, also helping us out here in Las Vegas. And thanks back at home to Tyler Feringel. Thanks to Mark Grody and Chuck Swirsky for being a part of the coverage of the Celebration of Life for Brian Sandberg earlier today. And thanks to Marshall Harris for sitting through a pretty bad knee injury and hanging out with
us
as well.
It's fine. Thanks to Layla Rahimi. It's fine. We're good. I've been comfortable.
It is not fine. You're managing.
I'm doing more than managing. I got my static stabilizer that I throw on. I'm good. The only bad part is that probably going to be the flight might not be bad. We got extra leg space, Ray and I, so we should be okay.
There you go.
We're just having a good time, basically.
We are having a good time, thanks to you. It's been a great week, and we are happy to observe it with you as we get ready for a Bears game tonight and Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes. Hi, guys.
Hello. You guys sound good out there at Circa. Derek Stevens has cornered the market on football markets. That's quite something that they've got going on out there. Who's swimming? Do you guys have time to swim, or are you going right to the airport right now? What's happening?
I swam yesterday. I'm flying out today because I got to prep for Sky Basketball tomorrow with Chuck on the score.
Oh, I got you. Well, that's good.
That's at 2:45.
So. No swimming for me. I'm going to go ice my knee and figure out where I'm going to watch both the Cubs and the White Sox and the Bears preseason.
See, I was thinking several beverages and a hot pool might do your knee some good.
I don't think that's good with the medication that Marshall is on.
Oh,
thank
yes.
you, Lawrence.
There's
thank
that.
You
for that.
That could end up in a bad way for Marshall.
Yeah, it's trouble.
That's a terrible Vegas story.
It's never happened before.
It's not
out
uncommon,
there.
But it would be a terrible Vegas story.
Yeah, I don't want to sure. be. I don't want to be a Vegas casualty.
No,
where they tell like documentary style.
It's never happened before.
Never out there.
Marshall, are you going to at least stick around? You and Ray going to stick around and watch a little Week Zero college football at Stadium Swim?
I don't know. We haven't really discussed. I mean, we were up pretty early this morning, so I think we're just happy to like be in the moment and enjoying this weather. The weather here has been glorious. It hasn't been that hot because it really is a dry heat, and today it's cloudy, so it's kind of perfect.
Ray and I yesterday were at the pool for several hours because that's where we watched the Cubs game. And I'm not just saying this because I'm more acclimated to these conditions, because I joke, you guys know this, my nose runs under 75, and I wish that weren't the case, but it is. But I feel like we had a good breeze. Part of the way, you know, we're familiar with this in Chicago. When you build buildings, it changes the way the breeze goes, mm-hmm. and Circa catches one.
Same so with scoreboards, by the way, Layla. When you build
exactly.
scoreboards, it seems to change the way the wind blows. Keep going.
That it does, and that's exactly where I was going with it, Matt. You picked up what I was putting down. But the point is, I think because of that, you end up with a good breeze here, even when it's that high of a temperature, and so the water felt cool. Like we were out here for several hours with no issue. Isn't that right, Ray? I felt like we were actually chilling in the pool, which felt chilly.
Literally, it was feeling nice. We had all the sports we could ever ask for, all the baseball speaks on these giant screens.
Guys, we watched the Padres and Dodgers game afterward, and it was great because they were like, you know, are the Padres and it was Padres and Giants yesterday.
Yes.
The Dodgers were on another screen, and they were watching the Padres and Giants yesterday. The heart of the order, the third time through the order, bunted three straight times against Justin Verlander to get base hit singles. I was watching Fernando Tatis celebrate getting on base with a bunt single. You tell me if bunts are dead in this league.
Wow.
They're dead.
No, they're not.
How dare you?
Yes.
Not according to Fernando Tatis, who celebrated, didn't he, Ray? You saw it. You saw it for yourself.
He was loving that he put that bunt down, and it was a brilliant, I know you're cringing at this, Lawrence, but it was a brilliantly executed bunt.
No, perfect.
I don't
down the
mind
third baseline.
Lawrence
mind a little
is thinking
good
Fernando
strategy.
Tatis Sr. would never.
Yeah.
He would just he's like, I got two grand slams in one inning against Hideo Nomo.
And then he'll paint
I would
you.
Never lay down a bunt.
And then he'll paint a portrait of you. Fine painter, Fernando Sr.
Oh.
Yeah. Really? But Lawrence, you don't mind bunting for strategy?
Like, if you're taking advantage of a pitcher like Lance Lynn, for example, hated that. And if there's an opportunity where he's beguiling you that day with that one pitch that he throws, and you're like, well, let's get big boy off the mound a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. But when I think of a player like Tatis Jr., I go, I don't know. I don't know if I like that.
Well, but how about this? Sometimes there's a hybrid. Pete, PCA had a bunt attempt last week that he ended up being a sacrifice, but he also almost beat it out, and it was against a tough lefty. Like, I'm totally cool with that as long as you can execute. Tough matchup, sacrifice with a pot. It's kind of like a...
But for every one of those, there's Ian Happ begrudgingly going to the plate, knowing that he can't bunt and giving half-ass effort in the bunting.
I agree, but the PCA one was like a semi-bluff when you've got like 4/5 of a straight and you're like, I'm going to bet like I have it, even though I don't have it, and you might crap in. You know, it might work.
Also, PCA did that so that he wouldn't get pitch hit for by one Justin Turner. That's probably why he
here
did it.
Is. Yeah. It's the bottom of the fifth. And the setup is Freddie Fermina just singled on a soft bunt ground ball. There it is. To third baseman Casey Schmidt. Ramon Laureano scores. Jake Cronenworth scores. Throwing error by third baseman Casey Schmidt. Fielding error by right fielder Luis Matos. So at this point, they're in the head. Then Fernando Tatis Jr. singles on a soft bunt. Ground ball to third baseman Casey Schmidt because it was perfectly executed. Freddie Fermina goes to second. And I said to Ray in the pool, I was like, did Fernando Tatis Jr. just like wildly celebrate that bunt, or have I been outside too long? And he was like, nah, he was smiling big. And then Luis Arraez out on a sacrifice bunt. Third baseman Casey Schmidt, the first baseman Dom Smith, Freddie Fermin to third, Fernando Tatis Jr. to second, and then Manny Machado double, baby, shake and bake.
You
and
know,
I was like, wow,
sometimes
watching
Layla,
functioning lineups is pretty fun.
Sometimes when Layla does stuff like that and you hear the baseball dork that she is in the best way, or like when she's talking about Braxton Jones's base and how it's, you know, how it needs to get, like, man, that girl knows sports.
Yeah, he's got an anchor.
Yeah, he does. But
I
do really
too. I get it.
All
but
I heard
can't
was
for anything.
All I heard was I said to Ray in the pool, and I was like, look at you guys out there feeling the Vegas magic. That's the thing. That's why Circa is heaven. You know,
it was Vegas magic. Watching three straight bunts in what a division I like to call the NL best. It was a vibe. It was a vibe for sure.
Hot girl walk happened too to see Mantis.
Hot girl walk happened. Ray and I, after dinner, went to... People want to see Mantis. I have one job in this life, and that is to bring Mantis videos to the people.
What is hot girl walk? I forget. Like, are you going out looking for hot girls, or is Ray the hot girl as you're doing the walk? I'm confused.
It's what you feel.
Thank
it's
you, Marshall.
What you feel after you take the walk. You feel like you're a hot girl for walking.
I got it.
Yeah, I do a hot I do a hot girl walk every day to work, and I do a hot girl walk home after work.
See, that's
except for not lately. Except for not lately.
Tandy does the walk too. I know. He's told me he's gone on a hot girl walk or two.
Yeah, for Mantis. For Mantis.
Mantis is awesome.
The Mantis, is it on your IG? I know you tweeted it as well, Layla. That's a very strange item that they have.
Layla is in the Mantis Hall of Fame. Thank you for growing the Mantis. Thank you for everything you've done for the Mantis.
She's the Mark Trestman of growing the Mantis.
My favorite because they do all these songs, the Mantis. And this last one was Dua Lipa, and that was great. But the best the first one was Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard, and I nearly lost it. Like, I just started screaming like a lunatic.
Pour Some Sugar on the Mantis? I don't understand.
It was so good. There was something about the fire and Pour Some Sugar on Me that really made me happy.
I saw the guy that controls the Mantis, the pyro, you know, the
pay
the
no attention to the man behind the Mantis.
Beat me to it, like, Danny.
It felt like I saw Santa Claus. I was like, no, I shouldn't be seeing him go into the Mantis.
That's crazy.
Oh, man.
Then he, like, sprayed fire as we were walking away, and we all screamed.
That's what's up.
We're like, ah!
You guys excited about tonight's game?
Actually,
any of them.
Yeah.
Any of them.
A little bit, and it's one of the things that we'll talk about on the show is the idea of being excited for some of this now that we know that the starters will at least put their uniforms on and go out there. That's exciting.
I got a question for you guys. What does it say about this team that there's really not much competition at the bottom of the roster? Like, maybe we're up to like 56 or 57 possible of the 53. But you look around, you can kind of map out the position groups pretty directly. I mean, maybe there'll be
about the left tackle position.
No, no, no. But I mean, like, to make the roster, like Ozzy and Braxton and Benedett will all make the active roster.
I know she didn't say Amagaji. That's what I was talking about.
There you go. That's a good point. That's a very good point. Kieran could be in trouble. Roshan could be in trouble.
I don't think Roshan's in trouble.
Oh, is that how you see that? You see Roshan as being in trouble?
I mean, he's hurt and he hasn't been playing. And I'm not a big fan. So. Yeah,
that's really the issue here.
I admit.
Who else has been hurt and is not playing?
Kyle Manunga?
Correct.
Right, but I'm a fan of him. So
right.
He's going to make the team.
Okay.
All right. Exposed.
Seventh round picks always make the team. Don't you know that, Lawrence?
I heard.
We were just talking about a third rounder and a fourth rounder and Amagaji and Roshan.
At least the third rounder was from last year. If you draft a guy in the
if they cut Amagaji, it is a real sign of who's in charge up there and how bad some of the mistakes Ryan Poles has made are.
They can get him on the practice squad, can't they?
Maybe.
I don't even disagree that there's been mistakes made, and I think we already know who's in charge. Is that still up for debate?
No,
I thought we had settled that.
I just think that you have them drafting someone to replace Braxton Jones, and it didn't work out, and replace on the roster the guy that was drafted last year to replace Braxton Jones, and it didn't work out. And if you
move
on from that guy, then that's very telling.
Yeah, I think the bigger commentary is the guy that was drafted in the third round last year not working out, but getting surpassed by a guy that wasn't even drafted, but also came in last year.
But couldn't
undrafted.
Couldn't you argue that if Ryan Poles is going to, you know, cut somebody or a couple people, could cut Zach Pickens, right? Like, if he's going to cut some people that he drafted, this is a year where he's got the cover. He's got full-on security.
Yeah.
Got a new contract. Like, and everybody knows that Ben's doing his thing, and you got a couple scouting wins out there. Like, this is a year to go ahead and bite the bullet and prove that you're not going to hold on to Velus Jones Jr. for another year. You know what I mean?
Wait. What was that mysterious fourth round talk about that trade that could have been a possibility? You remember that? The mystery team that came out of nowhere?
Oh, that's right. They wanted Velus, and you know, no one was going to trade him.
All I know is him bringing up Zach Pickens just reminded me that if you have a third round next to your name in the Ryan Poles era, and if he's gone and Amagaji's gone, it makes all the sense in the world while they have 3 second round picks and decide to forego the third round this year, because that guy would have been in trouble too.
Well, speaking of the smart thing and didn't have a third round this year.
Of the Hard Knocks from last year, I watched the second episode of the Bills Hard Knocks. It's way better than the Bears. And I don't even know if I think that it's good. I just know that it's way better. I texted Tanya last night because I couldn't stop laughing. There was a woman, because they talked with Bills Mafia in this. There was at a bar that was, they talked to like 5 different people of Bills Mafia. And this woman goes, yeah, you know, things get a little wild. Last year, my husband drank my friend's breast milk. That was a little weird. And I'm just sitting there going, this is amazing. This is what we need.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, that's what she said.
Let's go down to simpler times. Let's rewind to like back when the internet was fun and social media wasn't, you know, controlled by oligarchs and stuff. Do you remember, was it Bill's Mafia getting on the radar, not just with table breaking, but also the pregnant woman doing cocaine at the tailgate?
Yes.
I
missed that.
Yeah,
time was had on social media with Bill's Mafia.
So I'm actually having fun watching it, and the juxtaposition of all the swear words that are being used, some of them on the shirts of people in Bill's Mafia, for example, all of that stuff.
About right.
They did a great job of talking about Sean McDermott's skin cancer and walking us through that. They've done the Damar Hamlin thing. Josh is a part of everything on that team, and it's so much better.
Wow.
It makes me really angry at the Bears because of what we could have had versus what we got.
Oh, man. And anger at last year's Bears is like, it is a comfortable and easy place to be. But adding the Hard Knocks thing to it, that's quite something.
Are we allowing for the in-town, out-of-town, you know, bias as far as it being a team that's not in our market versus us watching the team that's in our market?
I try to control for that, Marshall, but I think that there's a couple things that allow me to put it front and center. An MVP of the league is totally okay with being a big part of that show. All and right. So that, to me, already puts it ahead. And then you start adding in some of the fact that they even showed the drifting stuff, which to me is dangerous. And if you hadn't watched it yet, Deion Dawkins does drifting, like Tokyo Drift stuff. He has a drift park that he goes to. And in the first episode, instead of DJ Moore and his adorable kids going to get ice cream, Deion Dawkins takes his adorable kids and drifts with them. And it's uncomfortable.
Deion Dawkins is that dude.
Hey, but speaking of Deion Dawkins, did you guys see the moment with Austin Booker? I saw that clip on social media, him like telling Austin Booker
that he's going to be good.
That he's going to be good and encouraging Austin Booker. That was a really cool moment for what? Four-time Pro Bowler? Deion Dawkins telling Austin Booker he's got a shot made me feel even a little better about Austin Booker, who's had himself a very nice camp.
He has had a nice camp, and I want to see what translates and what doesn't. And
I just want to make sure he's healthy.
Well, that's another part of this, and it looks like overall, at least on the offensive side, the Bears are going to be healthy. On the defensive side, you got some issues. You now have Jalen is hopefully going to be ready for week one, and the term ramping up has been used for Kyler Gordon, and Terrell Smith is already down for a significant period of time. So one of their deepest parts of their team is their secondary, and it's already going to be tested.
I feel like healthy also is arbitrary, so I want to be very clear. When I say healthy, I mean not Kyle Tucker healthy, but healthy.
Oh, well, yeah, he's not healthy.
I also think that is the position group I'm the most concerned about because of those injuries.
I get that. Hey, can I take a quick moment to thank everybody at our sister station, WXRT, everybody at the Metro, including the great Joe Shanahan, everybody at the Cubs who helped out. We did the concert for Lynn Bramer last night, the hometown celebration to honor the Lynn Bramer Scholars and raise money. We raised more than $100,000 last night for the Lynn Bramer Scholars. We met one who's going to college. Lawrence, you'd love this. She's a young lady who got assistance with college tuition through the Lynn Bramer Scholars Fund. She's going to study to be a journalist. She wants to be a journalist, and Lynn would be freaking thrilled. But like,
That's awesome.
It was a crazy great musical night, playing songs with our band, the Lindbergers, and just having a great time. Ryan Dempster came out and absolutely killed, singing "Glory Days" and "Pink Houses." There was a second line New Orleans horn section that walked through the crowd and up the stairs and onto the stage and joined us. Like, and Lynn Bramer's son Wilson played slide guitar with us for a couple of songs. It was very, very cool and very special and emotional. So thanks to everybody who came out and said hello. And thanks to the Score that helped promote it. It was a really, really wonderful night. And you guys will love this. I asked Connor O'Donnell if he knew anybody on his video team, Connor O'Donnell, the moderator of the Twitch mob, who would feel like helping out. And he hooked me up with Max Curtis, who works in our video team. Max came out, edited videos, ran a slideshow, ran the projector.
That's awesome.
And just was part of the action and texted me late last night. He's like, "That's one of the coolest nights I've ever had in my life." So it's like,
love that.
So like, you know, just everybody stepping up and being a part of it was really, really cool. So hopefully we'll do it every year. But thanks to everybody who came out and for all who supported.
Here's what we've got going on.
Lynn's birthday, go ahead, Layla. I was just going to say Lynn's birthday was a couple days ago. So
yeah,
I think that's a wonderful tribute.
That's why we did it. That's why we did it right around here. Absolutely.
We've got a big conversation about the Bears and the Ben Johnson effect that we're going to have. We are also going to talk. We were trying to figure out how to do this. And we think at 3 o'clock, that's an appropriate time for us to really get in on the Kyle Tucker stuff and the Craig Council. It seemed to be, from what we're receiving here yesterday and today, it seems to be a lot of disgust with Craig. So we're going to discuss that at 3 o'clock. Eddie Curry is going to join us at 4:25. We're going to talk to him about the Bulls' upcoming season and seasons past. And maybe look back on his career differently than what it was like living through his career. Dan Wiederer is going to join us at 5 o'clock. We will share Bob Costas's eulogy of Rhino at 5:25. We've got a lot of stuff that we've got to do on a Bears game day, and we are going to kick the show off with some Bears conversation. You all have a wonderful time with the rest of the time that you have left in Vegas. And after Tanny's open, we're going to kick off Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.